Tayata Om Mune Maha Munaye Soha Tayata Om Mune Maha Munaye Soha Tayata Maha Munaye Soha. Now let's read the four immeasurables below on that same page, one time in English. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Now turn to page 37. And let's read the four immeasurable chanting version at the bottom. And if you have the white binder, it's just the words by the music notes. San Chen Tam Che Wa Dong. Great compassion, and then below that, Green Tara's mantra. Green Tara is the deity of enlightened activity. So let's do 8 of the Chenrezig and 7 of the Green Tara's mantra. Om Mani Padme Hum.
Good morning. Let's begin with a short single point meditation. Okay, short single point meditation. Only 2 hours. Short. Sounds good. I just want to say a few words before we meditate. First, we analyze our mental state. Okay, first begin before we meditate. We analyze our mental state. If you are going to do single-pointed meditation based on breathing meditations, so then once you discover that your mind has been disturbed, so then exhale forcefully. Then just imagine that you know your disturbed mind that's been irritated by all kinds of reasons. So when you breathe forcefully at the beginning, so just imagine that your disturbing mind went out of your body and went out of the room, then out of the universe, disappeared. Okay. If your mind is neutral, or maybe it's good, positive state, so that's good way to begin meditation. Any form of meditation is good to begin with positive mindset. That's the best. It's not neutral. No neutral mind. Not necessarily positive, not necessarily negative, it's just neutral. Then easy to place all your attention on one single object. Why single-pointed meditation is important? Because single-pointed meditation is important. Is it important? Because it makes your mind calm. It's a way to make your mind calm down. Calm down? Calm down? This is a technique that makes your mind calm. Instead of saying just, calm down, calm down, calm down, I'm not sure how the mind will calm down, just repeating the words. But if you learn how to place not just 20% attention, or maybe 100%, 100% attention must put on, one single object. So then mind is going to calm down and then it becomes peaceful. That's the temporary goal. Temporary goal is to make your mind calm and peaceful. So then of course the ultimate goal is to reach physical pliancy, mental pliancy, through your single point of meditation. When it's dramatically improved, so the result will be physical pliancy and mental pliancy. First, among those two pliancy, first you reach mental pliancy, so then you reach physical pliancy. That's the ultimate goal. So temporary goal is to make your mind, this is the ancient technique, how to make your mind calm and peaceful, placing 100% attention on one single object. If there's any other way that you can make your mind calm and peaceful, that's wonderful. That's very good. I'm not saying this is the only way, but according to ancient, the teachings or method, that's how they use this kind of meditation technique to make their mind calm and peaceful. So what do you do if you are using your breathing meditations? Then you exhale, inhale. Each time when you inhale, then you count one. So the number of people ask me the question, do counting is important? Counting is not that important, but counting is the method then make sure that your attention is there. There's some of your attention is there. There's a way to you to know if you count 7, 14, 21 times, you do know you are counting correctly. At least some of the attention is there. That you know. It's quite obvious. That's why you count. Yeah, of course you'll hear sound, people breathe, you know, the phone rings, you know, then outside noise. But just, you know, you don't follow that whatever sound you hear, you don't follow that sound and then, you know, create like stories like Sesame Street, like, you know, the TV show. just recognize and gently bring back your attention to whatever that might be, a flower, tree, waterfall, but has to be one, can be five. Then there's attention to be divided, or has to be one. Okay, so that's next maybe a few minutes, that's what you will do, you know. Object doesn't matter. If you're using your breath as object, so then breathe out, begin with exhale, then inhale, then, you know, if you have four counting, then you can say one. Out, in, there's two. Then you count that. Okay, so let's begin. So one thing, you know, when you start to do single point meditation, it may seem like more thoughts are arising, but actually that's not true. It's not true. Because you are just being aware of all the thoughts that arise, because, you know, it arises all the time. As I said, it's like popcorn. Popcorn. You can buy in the, I think, Walmart, in all the stores, you know. The bag looks like flat. First looks like flat. The minute you place in the microwave, then, pop, then it runs like that. So the thought arising all the time, but you are not aware. You just go with it, you know. Then not just that, you know. So then create all kinds of stories, you know. So this become like part of life. So now, when you try to meditate, try to focus, you know, try to place all your attention on one single object, then you notice all this thought rising. It's not like, oh, when I meditate, more thought rise. No, that's not true. There's a certain amount of thought. But noise, outside noise, do become as an obstacle. Obstacles, you know, disturb. So maybe you can use objects like, don't disturb. When you go to hotel, you put something outside, you can use this object, no, don't disturb. You can just choose that. It is a breath, you can just choose don't disturb. Mm. So therefore, you know, like, come abiding meditation, that's the highest level of single point meditation called shamada, or samadhi. You know, so environment needs to, you know, there has to, not any kind of environment is going to work for that, because there has certain kind of environment there has less noise, outside noise. You know, if you're walking for Kama Bhadi, even the waterfall, the sound of the river, you know, become kind of like distractions. So. But here, you know, single-pointed meditations does not mean, you know, samadhi. You know, samadhi is a different meditation, you know. it's like 9 stages of meditation, you know. But anyway, so, you know, it's hard to, you know, to find, you know, like, environment. There's no noise, you know. Even though there's no external noise, there's internal noise always there, internal noise. You know? So anyway, we do our best, you know, what we can do. So then slowly, not right away, slowly, your concentration will improve. Your single, power of single-pointed concentration will improve slowly, it will improve. So, you know, then it will make your mind calm and peaceful. So that's, you know, very good. It's not like taking something, drinking something, you know. So, no. Okay, so this is very good. This is very good meditation. So if you try at home, for a beginner, short, multiple. For a beginner, when you are experienced, then few, then long. And when you become experienced, oh. So then best time to stop. If you feel good, then stop. Okay, don't stop when you feel terrible. So that's not good to stop. You know, when you feel good, then stop. You know, so then you want to, you can do it again. Okay. then you know the benefit. You know. We are here all, you know, doing meditation. Any form of meditation, single point of meditation, is create the positive energies. It creates positive energies. It will have a ripple of positive impact for the environment, you know. So then for the society. So I think they have done studies. So one of the, I don't remember the name of the church, Elis. You remember the downtown Longview Center? One church?
It's called the Longview Center.
That church is not church. It's church?
It was not a church when we were there.
So church that occupied the center, what's called? The title of Unity?
Unity.
Yeah, Unity Church. So the minister, what do you call minister or minister of the Unity Church? I know him, a very wonderful person. So he told me they did some kind of studies that like same time, same day, same time, same minute, same second, there's thousands of people meditate. And the study shows that kind of reduce the violence in the communities. You know, it's not a new thing. It's been old. It's not been new thing. It's been like see, you know, even the example has been used, you know, like one piece of broom. Here, you probably people don't use broom. But India and Nepal, they used, when you clean your house, you use bunch of grass, put it together, then it become broom. That's how you sweep, you know. Here, vacuum cleaner. I don't know how you can put 100 of them together. If you put 100 vacuum together, so there's going to be a lot of noise. But the broom, you know, there's a piece of grass, put it together. One piece, so much dirt can be has the swift. Swift, if you use one piece of broom. If you put a bunch of them together, you can clean large area and easily. So this example they use in the church is like that, group meditations. You know, so like how often we do same things? No, not much. So there's a power generated by doing something positive with different kind of collective consciousness do produce energies. So it's not something new, it's not like they just found out, you know. So, but they did, you know, not that kind of study has been done before, but, you know, so they did study and it shows the amount of violence has been reduced by there is no power of that meditations, you know, from a group of people in the same time. So I believe that a long time ago, it's not something new. But anyway, so, you know, just that. Each one of us, when we meditate, we contribute for the societies, betterment for the societies. There's something to feel good about. So then, you know, you also get, you know, benefit, you know. Just think about, you know, how many problems caused by body, how many? How many problems caused by body? How much? How much complication problem caused by mind, thought. There's many. The question is, what kind of thought? What kind of thought they cause problem? That's how you do business with your thought. You know, so you precisely calculate. You know, so then based on that, then you make plans. You make plan. What kind of thoughts cause me? You know, like to make me cranky, cranky. Oh yeah, cranky. So, like that. You know, what kind of thought that, you know, makes me kind of like, you know, that the ultimately something nature, pure nature, from Buddhist point of what you call Buddha nature. And what kind of thought, you know, like kind of uncover that, and what kind of thought that cover up that nobody can see, and people just think that you're evil, you know. The thought, everything begins from the thought. Everything that starts from the thought. So, is the source of everything. It's the source of everything. So just, you know, after the, you please take, you know, a few moments to introduce yourself to each other. Then after that, you know, I will continue, okay?
Thank you.
Hello, David. How are you?
Nice to meet you.
Good to see you again.
Hey, do the squirrels eat your things before they get ripe?
Oh, a few.
They do? Because I had a few on my new tree, and they're all gone. So
few. That's the plan. Please, you come in October. Take it out.
Uh-huh.
October.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. And sorry to disturb your wonderful conversations. But we have here only 1.5 hours. So one question here. So how is the prayer of the four immeasurable related to the four noble truths? It was very, there's four, so there's a relationship between four. They become eight. I think there's the answer, the eight. Number eight is the answer. So then eight become eight, four noble path. So that's all good. First four is good, second four is good, then it's become eight, eight is also good, then it's become eight for noble path, right speech, right thought, right action, all of that. So that's a very good question. Thank you for whoever asking this question, it's a very good question. So that's, in my mind this morning I thought before I come in here, I'm going to talk about that. So the question is already on the table. So wonderful, you know. So the both four I've been thinking about, I'm going to talk on this subject today. You know? And begin with, you know, compassion. So compassion, compassionate person is very, very important. It's good for the society, you know. It's good for the society. It's good for everybody. If the person is compassionate, everybody get benefit. No? If the person is Buddhist, Christian, Muslim, there's no guarantee. No? So what we need to, if we are worried about, you know, better world for our children, our grandchildren, all of that, what we need to do as a human, not as a Buddhist, as a human being, what we need to do, we need to emphasize on the importance of developing compassion, loving kindness, tolerance, respect. These are very, very important things. It makes human better human beings. All this, you know, major religion traditions does carry message how to develop tolerance, all of that. But if you are compassionate person, or even though you don't have any religions, I don't see any problem. It's not needed. So that's why you remember His Holiness Dalai Lama said, kindness, my religion is kindness. My religion is kindness. It has, that sentence is carrying a lot of weight. That has meaning. It has meaning. It means something very deep. Kindness. No? So, compassion, you know. So yesterday, last time, somebody talked about, you know, show compassion to yourself or love yourself. Now question is, how? It's all good. It's all good. No, absolutely, it's absolutely right. You know, loving yourself, no, showing compassion to yourself. Yeah, of course, you have to love yourself. You have to show compassion to yourself. That's all good. So now the question is, how? You can say so many things in the world, you know, you can say, but the how? Practicing gentle mind, that's all what's the matter. Practicing gentle mind. Oh. Well, you can call gentleman, you know, doesn't mean, you know, gentle, you know, practicing gentle mind, noble thought. This is very, very critical, for your health, for your, you know, life. At the same time, it is very important to understand, from the Buddhist point of view, what is called samsara. We are not going to be happy all the time. That is reality. No, do we understand that? We are not going, if you are expecting to be happy all the time, that's not going to happen. Sorry to say. You know, that's the truth. If I say, oh, you are going to be happy all the time, that's not true. It's not true. It's just not true. So recognizing that, that's very important. I may have like so many unrealistic expectations that my life is not, yesterday is fine, today is not fine. Why? Ultimate happiness, if you liberate yourself completely for the goods from the disturbing thought, then they will be happy all the time. No? All the time they can be happy. Oh. What we call, from the Buddhist point of view, called liberations, then be liberated, you know. Other than that, that doesn't mean you shouldn't try. We can try, you know, So, I say, nothing lasts forever, you know. Even the season, no seasons, four seasons, knows. No, too much fun, probably not good, so maybe show some heat. See the winter, cold, but the cold doesn't last forever. You enjoy a little bit, then after a little while it becomes too much. Summer, in the beginning, everybody gets so excited, then after in the middle, then it becomes a little bit too much. Everything changed, The tree, the fruit trees, summertime, it's going to become everything. Spring, everything grows, you know, everything, even the seasons try to cheer us up. Even the seasons trying to cheer us up, trees, all of that. So many good things that we are not aware. See, long time ago, there's a couple of Tibetan students, they are studying Duke. Some of them graduated and their family came for their graduation ceremony all the way from Tibet. The man, the father, first thing he noticed is like all the trees when they drive around, and he said, all these trees looks like just somebody just washed them with the water. I've been living here like 18 years. Did I ever feel something like that? No. So just that, you know, so it makes that person kind of, wow, this every single tree just looks like just somebody just washed them. You know, so environment, some people they live, there's no clean air, there's no trees, all covered with dust and that. small things, you know. Spring, the summer, even the season try to cheer us up.
Cheer us up.
Even the flower trying to, you know, say a smile. Just show some smile. Even, like, you know, the bird, all of that, you know. Every day. Not talking about 24 hours, every day. It's very, very important to think something positive, you know. So then the positive well is not going to dry up, because every day there's one drop going there. Oh. And eventually that well will fill up. So that's exactly from Buddhist point of view, that's how you love yourself, that's how you show compassion to yourself. Minimize, you know, this sort of thought. So anyway, now back to the topic here. For immeasurable, you know, just think about, don't just read the word, When you read the word, think about the meaning. Not just saying, may all American beings, not just you're just saying, may all American. You're saying, may all living beings, everything that moves, breathes, you're wishing all of them something good. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That is noble thought. So that thought is necessary. That thought, if you generate, that is guarantee it will contribute for better world. And it will produce better world as good for your children, grandchildren, all of this, very good. You know? Change, you know, of the weather, the climate, you know, all of that, the season, is a part of the reality. Everything change, you know. You can't stop. Even America cannot stop four seasons. You know, it's a part of the reality, it happens, it just cycles, and it just happens. You know? So the four noble, the four immeasurable, you know, four, this is a wonderful question, the four immeasurable, the person whomever asking this question probably already read my mind. So four immeasurable is the expansion of compassions. When you expand the compassions, it becomes four immeasurable thoughts. When you summarize them, then there's compassion, okay? Sinjiya tamche devatang, devajira devajira. May all sentient beings have happiness and cause of happiness. What's the cause of happiness? What is the cause of happiness? Is it pizza? Or is it cheesecake? Or is it french fries? Is it the beach? Or is the sun bad? What is the cause of happiness? What is the cause of happiness? Because everybody here can read, write, you know, very educated, need to ask, what is the cause of happiness? According to Buddhism, the cause of happiness is positive thought. Positive thought, there's a cause of happiness. That too, need to analyze. Huh? When I show compassion, somebody get angry. When I show loving kindness, somebody get out of their mind. If I show angry, somebody just jumping up and down, so happy. What is the cause for happiness? What is the cause of happiness? It's the first line. Free from suffering is the cause of suffering. Suffering doesn't mean, from the Buddhist point of view, suffering does not mean pain. Suffering simply means complication. All kind of complications. Suffering does not mean pain. It just calls suffering. It does not mean pain. complication. That's what I put it, complication. You know. Yeah, complication of fruit trees, you plant one, so the wood is not going to grow well, so it's going to be like that, then it's going to grow, then grow very beautifully, then it's like it produce a lot of fruit. Then there's another complication, the squirrels, a lot of squirrels, you know, squirrels come on the trees, you know, all of that. Everything is coming to complication, everything. You know? Oh, so that's, you know, dungata, free from suffering and the cause of suffering. What's the cause of suffering? Nah? Important, what's the cause of suffering? Then the third line, what's the third line? Dungar, there was a... there was happiness without suffering.
Yes.
What is that? That is liberation. That is liberation. So, that's the ultimate happiness. That's called liberation, nirvana, whatever you call moksha. That's happiness without suffering. So, means happiness without complications. All other happiness, you know, comes with the complications. You know, like happiness going to vacations comes with the complications. All kind of. So anyway, so now compassion, you know, that's when you summarize that, you know, when you summarize for immeasurable thought, that is compassion. When you expand the compassion, it becomes for immeasurable thought. These are wonderful thought. Then that's guarantee if any of us who generated this thought sincerely, genuinely, people don't need to fear. Nobody needs to fear for your presence, because that's guaranteed that you are not going to hurt any living beings. See? If you sincerely, genuinely develop that thought, nobody has to be fear of your presence. You are not going to hurt any living beings. You are going to help them as much as you can. Oh, that's the why I say there's guarantee, you know, there's guarantee. If a lot of people does that, you know, it will contribute for betterment of, you know, all living beings, and it will contribute to better world, or compassion. Oh. So now, how compassion rise? How compassion rise? It doesn't rise by nothing, you know, compassion. We all have experience, I have experience, you have experience, you experience compassion, I experience compassion, not 24 hours, but you know, not 24 hours, but here and there. How compassion arises? The way the compassion arises, if you witness somebody's going through some difficulties, right? Our understanding of the difficulties is very limited, very, very limited. It has to be something obvious. There's something you see. That's pretty much it. Oh. Our understanding, that's why the Four Noble Truths, now there's relationship between Four Immeasurable Thought, Compassion, Four Noble Truths. Yeah, there are very strong relationship between those, you know, two set of four practice. Four Noble Truths, you know, begin with the truth of, that's called suffering. First one, right? Oh. Or time to show some patience. First of all, the Four Noble Truth, truth of suffering. As I mentioned, it's very important to understand, as I mentioned before, suffering from Buddhist point of view does not mean pain. Does not mean pain. So you look at that, if you're interested, you know, this is not order, this is some, you know, this is a suggestion based on the questions. If you're interested, what are the Four Noble Truths? Why, you know, historical Buddha choose that topic after his enlightenment, you know, why he choose that? And he is someone who went through so much in life, you know, like grew up in like royal family, have everything, and went through so much, you know, after that. When you read about the 12 deeds, you know, it went through so much. So someone who experienced everything in life, it's not like there's no experience. So that person, like eventually managed to liberate himself, and liberate himself from all the disturbing thoughts. So that person, why he choose to talk about the first teachings, why he choose to talk about four noble truths, is very, very, that's important to find out. So our knowledge about suffering, or is very limited, Therefore, we do have problems to developing universal compassion towards all living beings, So you just read about that, okay? Please, if you're interested, read about First Noble Truth, Four Noble Truth. What is the truth of suffering? How many? There's three. First, second, we all know. Third one, there's a more complex one to understand. Third one. Bottom line, every living being, everything that breathes, moves, every living being has problems. Not just me, every CEO of the corporations, the president, newborn child, all the way to the president, every single being, unless they are liberated from samsara. Other than that, everybody has problems. That is the foundation for universal compassion. Everybody has problems. Everybody. Same boat, same, everyone's problems. There's a foundation for universal compassion. If you understand the Four Noble Truth, it will, once you understand the Four Noble Truth, say you are building the foundation for universal compassion. Otherwise, our compassion is going to be biased, but better than nothing. The compassion is very important. Not able to develop universal, that's too big to tackle, so I'm not going to pass the compassion. No. Compassion is very important. So any form of compassion is very important. Sometimes we just worry, So, as I said, we do what we can do. So, So now also that's 11:50, so a few times then. Today I need to also talk to somebody else after the class, okay. So here, this summer power, you wonder why this turn. So this is called prayer wheel, and this inside there's millions of mantras, rolls in the piece of paper. Sometimes they do microfilm, there's a billions, but here probably millions, big rolls of, money mantra, that's called, six syllable mantras. Widely, commonly recited in the Tibetan communities, inside or outside Tibet, throughout many, many generations. This is called mantra of compassion. Mantra of compassion, that's mantras for compassion, So I thought, this morning, so I'm thinking about the compassion and combine the mantra, then Four Noble Truth, Four Immeasurable, that's all I've been thinking about. Maybe I should talk today, like that. So see, the way the compassion rises, if you witness or somebody is going through some kind of problem, then we sympathize. And we feel sorry. See, You know, some people say, oh, I'm just a bad person. That's not true. It's not true. It's not true. You know? People are beautiful. You know? But that disturbing thought is not beautiful. No. That disturbing thought is not beautiful. But they are not them. It's like the cloud. They are temporarily on the sky. But beyond that cloud is pure space. It's crystal clear, you know, they're just clouded by those few clouds. It will move. Someday it will move. The sun beyond the cloud, that's a pure nature. That's a pure nature. The Buddha nature, that's pure. It's shining there, but you can't see now because it's covered by a cloud. Or you can say it's like the diamond underneath the ground. The pure nature, you know, but you can see them, it's like covered by dirt. Once you cover, then you find the diamond, no? Or gold underneath the ground, no? Or maybe under the piece of dirty cloth. Once you take that out, then there's gold, no? Like that. So, No, the Buddhism is very strict. You can't just make things up. No, it has to have some source. You know, not just yesterday, today, you know, like day before yesterday. It has to have hundreds of years of as a lineage. You can't just make things up, you know. So, so then here, the Mani mantra, this is called mantra of compassion, you know, mantra of compassion. So, and here also center, that's I requested a couple of people to recite millions of them, and some people did 1 million of mantra, you know. That's how you contribute for better world, that's how you contribute for better world. And you know why you're doing that? You're doing that to increase the power of your compassion. So compassion heals you, heals everybody. Huh? Compassion. So anger destroyed you, destroyed everybody. It's not good. If you really love yourself, from the Buddhist point of view, how you love yourself, you minimize your disturbing thought. So that means that you are really showing compassion to yourself and showing love to yourself. That's the way to do, from the Buddhist point of view. Oh, maybe from the Western psychology or therapy point of view, it may have different approach, but from a Buddhist point of view, that's how you love yourself, how you show yourself to compassion to yourself, to minimize a disturbing thought, you know, which is the cause of suffering. So, positive thought is the cause of happiness. So now you analyze, you investigate. You don't have to believe what I say, you just investigate and see, is that true? Is that true? Huh? So maybe you talk a little bit of mantra quickly, okay? Huh? The first one, are you interested? Are you interested? Okay. I'm going to talk a little bit about this mantra. This is called 6 syllables mantra, you know, 6 syllables. The mantra is only 6 syllables. Syllables? First one is called Om. A lot of probably you know, if you're doing yoga, probably you learn from the yoga. No, they ask you to say Om. What's the meaning of Om? What's the meaning of Om? What is the meaning? Sometimes the brief explanation of this mantra is called jewel in lotus. Jewel in the lotus. That's what I say. You know? So anyway, so Om. There's A. There's syllable A. You see this one called A. The last one. This is just full stop. Here is just full stop. That's called A. Can you see? I'll take it out. That's called syllable A. That's how it looks like. It symbolizes body. It symbolizes body. Your body, you know, body, our body. You know. That's called Naro. You know. That's U. Or doesn't matter, sometimes, you know, even the sound changes a little bit from generation to generation. Doesn't matter. O symbolize speech. There's some of this, like, so like O, small O is like Ma. Ma, you know, the 1, 2, 3, let's say become Om, the 3 become Om. The small round one, small O is become Ma, symbolize mind. When you say Om, you are saying my body, speech, mind. That's what you're thinking about. So that's the meaning of Om. And then other text says this is very, very sacred word. Even just saying that word, there's a lot of benefit. It creates a lot of positive energies. Probably it will take one more Sunday, probably the time is running out. Maybe on the next Sunday, maybe rest of it. So now this Om, no, so Om, there's the first syllable Om. You need to think about the purity of pure. No, I don't like myself. No, I don't know how to talk. I know my mind is mess. I'm not like that. And you say Om, there's no meaning. Om, when you say Om, you need to think about the pure nature of your body, your mind, your speech, pure nature, all the goodness you are supposed to visualize. When you say Om, then there's a benefit, no? Mantra is not something that you say again and again, it becomes mantra, no. You can say pizza again, pizza, no. Pizza never become mantra, no? Right? The mantra, the meaning, that's the important meaning, yi, mind. Job means protect. Protect your mind. That's the meaning of the, generally speaking, there's a definition of mantra. Yi job. Yi mind, job means protect. It protects your mind. That's the meaning of the definition of the mantra, generally speaking. Om, pure nature of body, speech and mind, and everything else. You know? Om, Sambhava. Om, as I said, the first syllable, Om, Sambhava, nature, the Sanskrit word. Sambhava is nature. Shuddha, pure nature. Sambhava, nature. Om, body, speech, mind. Sambhava, that's nature. Sambhava, that's nature. Shuddha, that's pure. Then when you say the word Om with the some kind of understanding, Om, Sambhava, Shuddha, so this pure nature of my body, speech, and mind, then from there, then you rise yourself as a Buddha, Tara, whatever, you know. Then you rise from there, pure nature of body, speech, and mind, then you rise as a Tara, and you rise as a divine figure. Then you perform whatever activity you need to perform, blessing, whatever, you know. Not like all kind of minds, kind of mess, all negative, you can't rise, you know. How is it? Rise and shine? Yeah. You can shine. No? You can only shine if you think something positive. Om. No, so that's, I'm just quoting that. That's how you bless things. No? That's how you bless food. That's how you bless environment. With no, like pure nature. Okay, this is not part of the mantra, but some other part of the mantra. You know? Om Sambhava, you know, Om, body, speech, mind, Sambhava, nature, Shuddha, pure, Om Sambhava, Shuddha, pure nature, my body, speech, mind. Sarva Dhamma, Sarva means all, Dharma means everything that exists, people, everything that exists, environment is not like something like, you know, beautiful, like kind of like mandala, all the beings there, you know, like pure, you know, and eventually, through that practice, Tavaramjam, just pure, you know. Myself, pure. You, pure. Everything. Environment, pure. Sound, saying something important. whether it's like the sound of the trees, sound of the bird, sound of the water, is not just ordinary sound. It's a sound of saying something very important, you know, beautiful. Oh. So then in the end you are saying, oh, there's purity of body, speech, mind, purity of everything. Then in the end you are saying, that is me. That is me. So then from there, then you rise and shine. You rise and shine. Shine means, you know, you rise. That's just, I'm just, last part is kind of, not a joke, it's not a part of the practice, but you know, that's how you rise, okay? You rise something important out of pure. You rise as a Tara, as a, you know, Buddha or Manjushri, then you rise, then you meditate. You know, then you meditate. You know? Everything is pure, you meditate. You know? Then more likely, you know, some kind of improvement could, you know, be developed. That could be developed. Okay. Oh, there's the first syllable of the mantra. Oh, Om. So when you put into color, when you put into color, it's white. It's white. Oh, Om. If you want to know, didn't the transcendental meditation that brought it by venerable hippies in the West, do they also do like transcendental meditation based on the mantras?
Yes.
Mm, similar. So,
They don't use Om as their internal mantra.
Oh, what mantra they use?
It's an initiation, so they...
Secret.
Oh, not supposed to tell anybody, so might be a very important one. But anyway, some kind of mantra they use?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so we are not going to call this transcendental meditations. Yeah. Anyway, so I did ask a couple of people, they say, and I asked what is transcendental meditations, and they say, you know, I do know, venerable hippies brought it here, brought to the West. So now I'm getting a little bit distracted by the... So now, Om, color, white. If you want to write it down, you can put white color, you know? White symbolizes purities. That's why it's called, this is called kata, you see? This is a traditional way of greeting people from the Tibetan traditions. You know, when you first meet someone, then you give it to them. What they symbolize, because what they symbolize, your intention is pure. There's nothing attached. You know, just before you say any word, you just offer that. And right now, not many people know. You know, that's the idea behind that. You offer that. You know, we don't say anything, symbolizing whatever reason you come here, there's pure intentions. They offer that, or kata, or it's like the leading object of your conversation. Conversations? You know, you offer that, that's the leading, make sense? Starting point or base of your conversation is pure, something pure, kata, pure. So, Om. You visualize, you know, white. If you write down, you can write like white color. So then, you know, you can say, oh, then, you know, white color. So then it actually purifies the arrogant pride, attitude of arrogant pride. And arrogant is looking down on someone who does not have much wealth or education or positions, power, you just look down. When you look up, somebody has so much power, so much wealth, you get jealous. That's the last thing, all my friend here, that's the last thing what we need is disturbing thought. We don't need any of those, because these are pain. Every disturbing thought is mental pain. Not just that, it's the cause of suffering. We don't need any of those. So we need to try every day, try all our best not to give them any opportunity to rise. You know? So where they rise is like kitty cat. When the cat walks, you can hardly hear. That's how they rise. You know? So that's very unfortunate. So you can visualize Om, pure nature of body, spirit, and mind. Oh, pure nature of body, spirit, and mind. And you can think of a pure nature of everything, and you just think, that is me. Hum, that's me. Oh, so then visualize white color, then purifies all the, you know, like, what do you call arrogant, pride, purifies them. Oh, purifies. Okay. So then, probably first syllable, you know, one Sunday, every Sunday, one syllable, no. Maybe no. Next Sunday, probably cover more syllables. Today, you know, time is running out. Then I was requested to say something about the Lama Adish statues. So you see the picture here? You see the painting? See that's the left side, there's second one, there's no historical Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha, and his two main disciples. Then above that, above means before that, that's called Lama Adisha, you know, the Indian master, you know, who really, I say, before he came to Tibet, it cost so many Tibetan lives just to invite him to Tibet. So reason, you know, there's all this, we do have our early religion, what is called Ben, more like shamanism, you know, like walking with the trees, all kind of things, more like shamanism, and all kind of myths. So like, it's not really clear what is what, you know, all people do all kind of things, you know. So when Lama Adichie came to Tibet, so it cost, you know, a lot of lives, you know, so then anyway, so long story short, Lama Adichie did come back to Tibet and re-established, you know, Buddha Dharma, Buddhism in Tibet. So Tibetan people owe so much for Lama Adichie. So Lama Adichie did pass away in Tibet, you know. Initial plan is to come there a couple of months or maybe a couple of years, then need to go back. So anyway, Lama Adichie did pass away in Tibet. So, and Lama Zhoba Rinpoche, so some of you know, the here, on your right, no, the between the His Holiness Dalai Lama, then the right, the Lama Zhoba Rinpoche, then the left, that's called Lama Yeshe. So really, you know, Western people love him so much, Lama Yeshe, so somehow he has some kind of strong connection. He's the one who founded FPMT organizations. And Kadamba Center is part of that, you know. So some of you may think, oh, Gichigele owns the center. I don't own the center. You know? So I just come here to do my Mickey Mouse talk. So that everything else is run by, you know, boards. You know? So anyway, so just brief introduction. Lama Yeshe, you know, who founded FMT and came to West. I only met him, saw him one time when I was in monastery, and he came one time. You know, then just saw from the distance, that's all. So, and he's, by then he's traveling all in Europe and Asia and America, all of that. So Lama Yeshe was, you know, passed away, so, and long time ago. So then Lama Zhoba Rinpoche is the main disciple or student of Lama Yeshe. So then everything falls on his shoulders. So now FMT has 165 centers all over the world, you know, Europe, Asia, New Zealand, all over the world, 165. So Lama Zhoba Rinpoche, suggests, you know, it would be good if we can invite Lama Adichie statue here at the center, because our name of our center is called Kadamba Center. So Lama Adichie is the one who founded Kadamba traditions. He's the one who founded Kadamba traditions. So, So then, you know, the Rinpoche even like gave donations, $7,000 donations to invite Lama Adichie to start here. So then after that, Rinpoche came here many times. Each time, no statue. So kind of, you know, like, for me, for personally, it's kind of like, kind of embarrassing, you know. So each year I felt like I need to ask something of statues that already been said. So then, it's kind of like last year I did ask the Rinpoche, you know, again about the statues, certain size of statues, which is 4.5 feet. So anyway, so now Rinpoche found it there, so then all the, then there's the seed money, so, but you know, it costs much more than that. So anyway, Lama, then last year I made a trip to Nepal and visited a couple of artists, talked to them, then some of them are experienced. Then finally met one artist, then requesting to build one, and like finding the right model, but not that many Lama artists statues have been built, so it's hard to find one. So they find one, no satisfied. Then finally, they're going back and forth, sending some photo to Rinpoche, so, you know, see if he thinks the best thing to do. So going back and forth. So now, finally, a strategy has been made. So this morning I got a couple of photos, but I don't know how to show to you. But, you know, so, and maybe eventually I will show. You know, now it's been painted. And it's kind of, you know, took like probably 7-8 months, because they have to create mold, and this whole generation that work with the statues, you know, like goes back to like hundreds of years. So finally they made, and when them it doesn't look good, then today it looks kind of nice. They've painted. It's all going to be gold painted. So it's going to sit right here. So you all get opportunities. So, and what else? Huh? Yeah, so okay, I will leave rest of the stories, not the stories, and the announcement to Donna C. Yeah. So that's all. Yeah, thank you very much. So it will be here, I think, middle of July. So then, you know, here the statues, then according to Tibetan Buddhist tradition, all the statues are not empty, you know, so we fill them with the mantras. So last time, you know, we did roll mantra here, but it's taking a long time, you know, so there's kind of complicated, you know, some of you already know. So this time I order all the mantra in. I requested one of my Gishi friends in Nepal, take in charge, roll all the mantra, so then when the stage comes here, we don't need to roll mantra. So then it'll take forever, you know, so they start giving the size of statues. So then all the mantras will roll, it'll be here middle of July. So now Rinpoche is coming in middle of August. Finally, something to show. So then probably Rinpoche will be blessed, you know, consequence. So that's good, all good. So, and all the appreciation go to each and every one person who come to Kadamba Center. Or energy, or time, and all of that, you know. Everything's happening because of our presence. Not just because of me, because of our presence. You know, so everything good, the children program, all of that, you know, wonderful people. So this all, you know, each and every one of us contributed for that, last 18 years contributed for that to come to this stage, you know. Hopefully it will grow. And what we promote? Compassion, loving kindness, tolerance, patience, to become better human being. That's all we talk. Okay? That's all we talk. So that's all we hope. So that from here, then we can, you know, produce better human being. So then it's good for the whole world. That's my goal. So then we, you know, wish for that and pray for that. Okay, pray for that through these learning institutions. And we can help people to change their mind, attitude towards other culture, other belief, other traditions, to become more compassionate, more kind, you know, more tolerance. So then that's good. Then we are all doing something good, and contributing for the betterment of the entire humanity. So then something to feel good about. Yeah. Then yeah, stop now. Yeah, don't say what you say.
So let on, if you please open the gold prayer book to page 246. We'll read the dedication prayer from Master Shantideva. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with the mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world.